This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. There are 12 original Hooters brand locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. I have my favorites. Maybe those of you in the Tampa Bay area have yours. Let's find out more.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsborough.
And of course, for those of you around the state of Florida, around the United States, and around the world, do a quick search or a quick search of your own memory to know where the nearest Hooters location is for football viewing as we move through these holiday weeks. I had an enjoyable holiday weekend. The football always helps get me through it, as well as terrific weather here in Central Florida for playing golf and just doing anything I want to do. I know many of you weren't able to experience that type of terrific weather. I do hope you enjoyed yourself, and let's talk some football. Remember my email, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Let's talk about Melvin Gordon first. At the time of this podcast, late morning on Monday. So there will be no conversation about the Monday night game between the Titans and the Texans. This is simply a review of everything Sunday, and the previous podcast talked about the Thursday action as it related to the big Amari Cooper game, but we'll talk about that as it reinforces a trend of 2018. But as far as Melvin Gordon is concerned, a very untimely injury for Gordon, for the Chargers, for the Charger fans, and for owners of Melvin Gordon. He has been a phenomenal RB1, very worthy late first round pick, maybe early second round pick. You invested in him this season as a true workhorse. He missed that one game about a month or so ago with a hamstring injury, came back. Was very good, similar to T.Y. Hilton coming back, and he's been very good. It took a little longer for T.Y. Hilton. I think the Fournette hamstring injury and how long it lingered, it just feels like there was more there. Obviously, there's a lot wrong in Jacksonville as they have dumped their O.C. It strikes me as the Bucs dumping their D.C. It doesn't necessarily solve anything. At least the Bucs dumped their defensive coordinator early enough in the season where they thought they still had a chance. If it made an impact in wins and losses, it didn't. For the Jags, it's a lost season. We have to remind ourselves that early this year, the Jags absolutely hammered the New England Patriots, just pounded the New England Patriots. It seems like it happened in 2017. But as it relates to Melvin Gordon, this is one of those where I don't think. Now, look, Austin Ekeler has been worth owning more of the first half of the season than recently in terms of being roster worthy. Sure, he's going to get some more volume with Gordon out, but there cannot be, I don't think, an expectation of suddenly Ekeler is a must start. You're getting a starting running back, but short of that, you cannot expect even a significant percentage of the numbers that Gordon was putting up. I caution the Ekeler owners. I mean, yeah, you have a better option now than you had before, but to think, oh, I'm going to get the Melvin Gordon numbers. No, you're not. Clearly, with Rivers being so accurate and efficient, the Charger game may move more vertical now with what they try to do. There are other running backs in the mix there at this point. I can't necessarily go out of my way on waivers to pick them up. Maybe a DFS option these next couple of weeks, but for Gordon owners, I mean, if you set up your season right, next week is the last week of the regular season. So you lose him for either the last week to push to get into the playoffs or for seeding in the playoffs. Then you lose him for the first week of the playoffs, unless you're in the first round bye. And you probably are going to lose him for the semifinal round of your playoffs, week 15. It's just the way it feels. And for as much as he's done for you all year to get you in this position or help get you in a good position, missing these few weeks is rough on fantasy owners of Melvin Gordon. All right, let's talk about explosive players, Melvin Gordon being one of them, of course, and how you had to have owned them this year. Some were available late round, some were available on waivers, and some were ones you just had to hit on in the early rounds of your draft. Week 12 was another example of how if you don't have explosive players with extremely high ceilings, taking advantage of a league where defense isn't played the way it used to be played. Some say it can't be played. You're going to be left behind. For example, in our foundation league, I own two of the top three performers in McCaffrey and Cousins. Ironically, I'm still going to lose because I just didn't get enough from other established guys in my lineup, and my opponent had Juju Smith-Schuster, had Ezekiel Elliott, got a touchdown out of Keenan Allen. Very frustrating, very, very frustrating, and also frustrating for me that I had Kelsey out planned 2 weeks ago, looking ahead 2 weeks, picked up Eric Ebron just to stash him to play him in week 12. Then off his zero target game in week 11, I chose not to play Ebron this week, instead going with Jarvis Landry, who for whatever reason, and I know some of you have noticed this, since the Browns have fired Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, virtually everything good has been happening with the Browns offense, none of it involving Jarvis Landry. His numbers have dipped. He has become, at this point, insignificant from a fantasy standpoint. I won't play him again until I actually see something in a, 28-point first half against the Bengals. Landry had virtually nothing. And it's been that way for a few weeks now. So I played Landry rather than Ebron off the zero target game. My plan 2 weeks in advance was right. Just play Ebron. It just shows how maddening, not to connect the terms there to a popular video game, fantasy football can be. So my mistake, guess I deserve to lose. Again, you've all been there. You put together the second highest point total in your league and you've lost. That's my situation for this week. But as it relates to Eric Ebron, yeah, just one of those where I'm shaking my head and only have myself to blame because I changed my mind off the zero target game the previous week. But McCaffrey, 35.7 in standard scoring leagues this week. Cooper, 30 in standard scoring leagues this week. Welcome back to fantasy football, Amari Cooper. Kirk Cousins, welcome back. In a spot where I think it's fair to say Kirk Cousins knew they paid me a lot of money to come here and perform. And that was a game on Sunday night on a big stage where the Vikings needed to win it to make sure that they stay in the playoff conversation, especially with this Trubisky right shoulder injury and some of the info that's trickling out about that. That maybe the Vikings can get the Bears if this Trubisky shoulder injury is worse than the Bears are letting on. The Bears said a week ago, well, not the Bears, but people close to the Bears said, well, if the Bears hadn't played on Thanksgiving, Trubisky probably could have gone on Sunday. Bears did get a victory against the Lions, but now there's talk Trubisky could sit another week. So in a big spot, Cousins came through with 27 plus. Points in standard scoring leagues, right up there with the Dak Prescott performance from Thursday. Then you get down to, Pat Shurmur might go on the list of coaches who may be looking for a job next year. It's been a horrible year with the Giants. They're just a really bad team. And the way they played with 19-3 against a bad Eagle team has a lot of people saying what are we doing here? So, and Saquon Barkley putting up 26 points in standard scoring leagues. Baker Mayfield's numbers are up. Of course, he takes advantage of now really one of the green light defenses to plug and play or definitely play guys on your roster. The Bengals are awful defensively and have been awful now for over a month straight. Baker Mayfield's numbers were definitely there. Juju Smith-Schuster, I am a victim of the 97-yard touchdown, albeit in a loss to the Denver Broncos, where I don't really know what the Steelers are saying about that play. They ask Antonio Brown. It's like Antonio didn't want to talk about it. Ben says, oh, he got blocked into the ball. I've watched it a few times. I see the block, but it looks like the defender had at that point kind of given up and was just, you know, putting his hand up, and it was a poor throw, poor choice by Ben all the way around. Nick Chubb, again, someone that I guess some of you, he might have been, we talked about this on previous podcasts, Nick Chubb might have been a guy that some of you drafted, then cut, and then it was whoever picked him up again once Carlos Hyde was traded. I was slow on the trigger to do that and didn't get him. Nick Chubb, nearly 25 points in standard scoring leagues. Andrew Luck just continues to throw. Leads the Colts to a win against the Dolphins. The Colts are rolling. Luck is now in the MVP consideration. I don't think there's any way Luck can win MVP. I don't. Even if the Colts make the playoffs. Let's put it this way. Even if the Colts don't lose another game, it's tough to see Luck winning an MVP instead of Patrick Mahomes. It just is. So I get the conversation. It's sort of like these people that want to make the Heisman interesting, which it hasn't been in years, when they say, well, at least he should be in the conversation. All right, well, how many does the conversation include? You know, is this like when the Oscars went to Best Picture and included 10 just to make people happy? Well, fine. We'll include 10 players in MVP conversation, and Andrew Luck will be one of them. And it doesn't mean that he's in the actual conversation to win the award. It just means he's one of the 10 best. Cam Newton in another bad loss for the Panthers. So McCaffrey and Newton were number 1 and 11 in fantasy production, and the Panthers lose in sort of spectacular fashion at home to the Seattle Seahawks. Where are all of you now who at the end of last year and all offseason said the Seahawks were done? I wasn't one of them. I didn't buy into it. As long as they had Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, who, look, not one of my favorite coaches. I have no affiliation with the Seahawks at all. But Carroll and Wilson have won a lot of games together, and they're winning a lot of games again. Maybe going with Russell Wilson's locker room was a better idea than going with Richard Sherman's locker room. How'd that work out in San Francisco? Leonard Fournette, before he got thrown out of the Jags game against the Bills, put up numbers again. Ever since he's come back finally from that hamstring injury, he's been putting up big numbers. Matt Patricia fed LeGarrette Blount the ball. He was one of the top running backs of the week with over 22 points. Ben Roethlisberger in the losing effort, and a lot of that the Juju Smith-Schuster throw. Lamar Jackson, another solid game. At this point, right, there's no reason to believe he's not going to play. I played him this week in the podcast league instead of Baker Mayfield, instead of Russell Wilson. And it looked like a horrible decision at first. And by the end of the games, Lamar Jackson scored slightly better than Russell Wilson and a few points less than Baker Mayfield. Because he had a rushing touchdown, he had a passing touchdown. Both of his interceptions were deflections, although they probably shouldn't have been thrown. Lamar Jackson was worth playing this week. And now I have a decision to make next week where I think if I win, I'm in our podcast league. Despite some horrible turnovers, speaking of teams, I mean, at this point, as the Saints are rolling, maybe that's why Carolina and Atlanta are just falling apart, because they're like, well, we're not the Saints. Have you noticed? I mean, that used to be the division with three really good teams. Yeah, now there's one Super Bowl contender and nobody else. with the way things are going for Carolina and Atlanta. Kenyon Drake put up over 21 points. Sony Michel back from injury, over 20 points. Ezekiel Elliott, over 20 points. All right, so going into Monday night, in standard scoring leagues with no tweaks, no bonuses, 23 players. Okay, and this is without Kelce, without Hill, without Mahomes, without Gurley, without Cooks, without Goff. 23 players from, all right, so let's take Rams and Chiefs off the board. That's, so we're down to 30 teams. The two Monday night teams, 28. So 23 players out of 28 teams had 20 or more points. You got to have these guys. I don't think anything is changing in the league going forward. This is also why, and now the trade deadlines are all gone, you had to trade for big-time players. You had to make big moves to get these big-time players. Now, of course, DeAndre Hopkins is one of those as well. Tennessee doesn't necessarily have one, although they've been a better football team recently. But, yeah, 23 players this week going into the Monday night game without Kelce, Hill, Mahomes, Gurley, Cooks, Goff, 23. Still put up 20 points or more. This is probably pretty simple, and I'm an example. Hate to say it. As the top scoring lead in my foundation league, and I lost by two to my longtime buddy and golf friend Dave Wirth. I had two of the top three players and still lost. Why? Because Dave had more of those explosive players. So, anyway, there we go with just some thoughts again on the explosive players and what they all mean. The Melvin Gordon injury. Again, send me your emails on anything involving, now that the trade deadline is passed, with rosters you've probably reached a point here. You've got 1 week left to make the playoffs or set your seeding in the playoffs. So this is also the place where I disagree. As much as I like Matthew Berry, and I wish I could watch the fantasy show, but they moved it to ESPN Plus, although apparently over a million of you buy that. Probably buy it just for the fantasy football. I don't blame you. I'm just not going to do it. Matthew Berry says this time of year, when you're pushing for the playoffs and playoffs, don't get cute. The quote, player studs. I'm an example of how you don't necessarily do that. And you're saying, well, wait, you just admitted you lost. Well, no, that's not the point. Actually, that is the point. Okay. So 2 weeks ago, I said, yeah, Eric Ebron is the play in a week that I won't have Travis Kelce, especially against the Dolphins in Indianapolis. Then what I did was I'm like, nah, Jarvis Landry is the better player. Even though he's had some bad games, he's not coming off a zero target game, so I'm going to play Landry. So technically, I employed the Matthew Berry theory. I'm not blaming Matthew for my loss. It's my fault. But I employed the Matthew Berry theory, right? That on virtually every board, the play looked like Landry. But I had made up my mind weeks in advance. No, plug in Ebron. He's a touchdown machine. And I got spooked by the fact that he had no targets the week before. And I went away from my plan. And as a result, I left 14 points on the table. Because Landry didn't perform, and Ebron did. And as a result, I lost. Let that be a lesson to you. You don't always play your studs. Let me go to the podcast league. All right, in the podcast league, I could have played Russell Wilson, considered one of the better plays of the week. Nothing wrong with what Russell Wilson did. Rallied the Seahawks from behind. Throws deep. Healthy hamstring. Can run the ball. I had Baker Mayfield. Didn't play him. Mayfield has been terrific. Right, since the coach and coordinator change, took advantage of the Bengals. I played Lamar Jackson on simple mathematics. Lamar Jackson's going to run the ball, and rushing yards count faster than passing yards. In the end, and it was hit and miss there for a while, trust me, about 2:30, I'm like, why did I play Lamar Jackson, not Baker Mayfield? In the end, the difference was about 3 points. And again, Lamar Jackson outscored Russell Wilson by a fraction. All right. So did I get cute by playing Lamar Jackson? Was my stud Russell Wilson or was my stud Baker Mayfield? Yeah. And how'd that work out? It worked out fine. All right. It worked out fine. So when it comes to matchups or when it comes to things like that, no, You play your studs. You play your studs, as Matthew Berry said, at the first 2 weeks of the season. You play your draft board. You drafted a running back first. You play him. Now, obviously, if Le'Veon Bell doesn't show up, you don't play him. You draft a wide receiver first. You play him. And you play him for a couple of weeks. And then starting in week three, you start to see, well, maybe this isn't working out. And you back off your draft board a little bit. That's when you play your studs. I call it play your draft board. This time of year, you don't blindly do it. And I just gave you two examples as it related to my league for week 12 and how important the games were. So, again, send me those questions at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters and sponsored by the Eagles Golf Club, which will be the host of Todd Wright Tour 18, our Good versus Evil event, two tournaments in one, nine holes as hard as I can make it, nine holes as easy as I can make it, at the Eagles Golf Club on the fringe of Oldsmar in Odessa. 36 holes of semi-private gated community golf. We host one event there each year on the Todd Wright Tour, and it will be Super Bowl Saturday. For more information, email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast.